Name?
My name is Brooke. A.E. Brooke.
A.E. Brooke.
You heard about A.E. from the Rosen Brook.
Okay, fine. Have you lived here for a long time?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in Portland all my life.
In Portland?
In Portland, Mount Tabor, and I never lived in Surrey.
Oh, I see.
My father Brooke came here in 1888 from England. And his uncle owned the Smith House on the top of Mount Tabor Hill. Used to be a house there.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Harvey Scott marker is there now, statue is there now. It used to be the home of K.H. Smith.
I see. Okay. I think Marge Stewart was talking to me about the rumor as to how the name of Sherwood.
Well, that's about if I can tell you.
Good. Okay. Now, we have...
They formed this brickyard here. My dad was, I don't know why, he came here in 1888 and went to work for his uncle, running a band of sheep in eastern Oregon. I had a diary for a while. I don't know what became of it. A diary he took 3,000 sheep to Yellowstone National Park and delivered it to Bozeman, Montana.
My goodness. That was really
hard
enough. But then he
got out of the sheep business and went back to Nottingham, England. Married my mother. They were both school teachers in Southern Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up housekeeping here. And he got something, I don't know how he got into this bank, this bookmaking office. But they sent Eastburn, an expert, and he came up and pronounced the play all right. They started to make a prospect and they crumbled like a loaf of bread. My dad lost his shirt. Of course, he couldn't take my mother, being brought up in a big city, out on a sheep ranch very well.
Wouldn't adjust.
But while she was here, while they were here, some of the people didn't like the name of Smockville. And they held a meeting in the town hall, and my mother suggested Sherwood from Sherwood Forest outside Nottingham, Robin Hood. You heard about it?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So, That's how the name came about. Yeah.
How is it that they have the old record saying that Robert Alexander was the man that suggested the name Sherwood?
That's a mistake.
He worked for the brickyard. He was a man that was sent here. That's the way it's recorded, that he worked for the brickyard.
Well, there was an Alexander who lived very near my house. After my guys got out of here, they went up to Mount Tabor. About the top of that hill on Stark Street, before it dips down into Mount Montevore, I was born there. It was in 1892, and my dad, I lost everything I had. I came back the same time. I got all the bad luck one time.
So your mother's name is then, what was your mother's name?
Before?
Yeah.
Before Mary?
Uh-huh.
Frances Easom.
Easom?
E-A-S-O-M.
Okay.
She was a graduate of college. She taught school in Portland, so she got a life certificate with state of Oregon.
I see.
After this period.
Then what was your dad's first name?
John.
John Brooke.
This uncle of my dad sent for five boys and one girl when his sister died. He brought them all over this country.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived up on the top of the hill, all except my dad, until they got married off, all of them. And there isn't a single one of them alive today.
Now, the thing with the records, according to the Historical Society, they say that four men came from Chicago, and that's where Robert Alexander had come from. And then he suggested, and they did, and they do record that they did have a town meeting, and then it was the majority agreement that Sherwood would be the best name.
That's how that came about.
Yeah.
And, but Alexander, right to who went to see some worship on Table Hill. It's remember down, they have a hill that's just above Montevilla, and then the, mm-hmm. The tall hill or the top of the hill is like a park, isn't it?
Yes.
So the Gary Smith house is way up the top of the hill. He was a railroad contractor here, and he built a good part of the Union Pacific between here in the east, and quite a bit between here in Seattle.
I see.
He mm-hmm. did all the work with scrapers and horses in those days. He had no
Yeah, we have quite a bit on the history of the railroading, too, which is interesting. But it was the name that I wanted to get, because I have inquiry from different people asking about the name. And there's a Dr. Sherwood from Colorado that writes and asks whether there's a possibility that the name of the town was founded on his grandfather's brother. Name, his grandfather's brother's name was Charlie Sherwood.
Well, this is just hearsay on my part, I understand.
Yeah.
My mother told me this, and I've known it since I was. Mm-hmm.
Did she say that she attended a town council meeting or a town meeting?
There was a meeting in the hall.
Yeah.
And different ones were suggested. Mm-hmm. There were quite a number of newcomers here, you know,
right.
who were going to work in a brickyard.
Yeah.
And this.
But evidently, Mr. Alexander got the credit. Because they said that he suggested the name.
And, I don't care about
it. Yeah. And they said that, of course, it was voted on, and they all agreed Sherwood was the best name to be, you know, used for it. So
well, that's how it happened to come.
Right. I see.
And I wouldn't say that Mr. Alexander was an odd line or anything at all, mm-hmm. but it's rather an odd thing that within a stone's throw where my dad lived in Mount Tabor, that's where, you know where 60th Street is, where the streetcar stopped.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Well, there was an Alexander who lived right across the road from us.
Was there?
Yeah, I distinctly remember I threw a rock one time and knocked one of his kids off the fence.
Oh. Yeah. That's interesting. Do you know anything about Charlie Sherwood? Now, I understand that he was a brakeman on the train. And he also worked with the smock boy. Of course, the smock boy lost his life, I think, on the train in those years.
I didn't know
anything about
him.
You know, we're looking for them.
I have known somebody once about that. I'm not sure whether it's nothing connected.
Uh-huh. Or do you happen to know anything about the bell that was on the schoolhouse, which is now the furniture shop out there? We're looking for information there, too.
Oh, that's harsh.
Yeah, right.
It's hard to find this stuff, isn't it?
Well,
I talking to a young man when Bob passed his funeral, and he seemed to be, somebody had told him, he seemed to be very interested, and he was going to call me up come over. I live in King City.
Yeah. Marge Stewart said that one of the boys was going to come and pick up a tape from me so they could tape your voice. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I'd be love to have that. So I was going to supply him, but he never showed up. So it might be the same boy.
This isn't my natural voice.
It isn't your natural voice?
No, I've got a cold.
Oh. Uh-huh.
In fact, I'm pretty far gone.
Well, how old are you now?
84. 85 next month. Mm-hmm.
Did you know Mr. Adair, Morris Adair?
No.
Oh, he was the banker here. In Sherwood. Of course, you said you hadn't lived here in Sherwood.
I've never lived in Sherwood.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I know that you know all the Cochran family.
Do you?
Uh-huh. Yes, because
they've been here a long
time. Laverne, just like I said, like our daughter.
That's my first name. That's my first name, too, Laverne.
Mm-hmm. Laverne, just like a daughter to us. Mm-hmm. She rode her down with Bob just as if she was her own, mm-hmm. own boy.
Now, how long have they lived here in Sherwood, the Cochrans?
I don't know. I've never asked.
Yeah.
I could find out right across the street.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Be interesting. See, we need to get these people on tape so that we can have some kind of a record, you know. And I did tape, you know Gladys Ayton? She was a Moorback. Moorback was the mayor here for 25 years. No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And can you think of any other interesting points during the early years that your mother had talked about, Sherwood?
Really can't. See, my folks, after they left here, they went to Montaver, but Paul Montaver now. And I was born there. And my sister was born here, and she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I could very distinctly remember a lot of things there. And then when I was 4 years old, I used to kayak around the house because I had no one to play with, so we sat in the school 4 years old.
Oh.
And I went right along with this thing. And of course, my mother helped me a lot. My dad was also helped.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came down. Then when we moved to Portland, and my mother was teaching in the a grammar school right next to where the Washington High School is. So I think they called it the Central School. My mom was teaching there. Then when we moved downtown, down to Portland, and we lived on 10th Street between Harrison and Hall. Is that the name?
Mm-hmm.
And she was teaching in the Ladd School there, and that's where the Portland Art Museum is now, 10th and Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
The funny part about it is, you might talk there several years. Then, for some reason, but I was in this Harrison Street school, and one of them had been on 6th and Harrison, so I had to go there. Mm-hmm. And we stayed there in about 10 years in that 10th Street house, and then we moved up on Portland Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother quit school, quit teaching, she got in the real estate business. For a while, she was the only woman realtor in the city.
Yeah, not that highly recognized in those years.
She worked almost exclusively in Bobby Knight Club. Although she got in some other deals too. She sold an iron fan company at a quarter block of their warehouse on 14th Street. She knew her charge account in the iron fan company was number 27. They were a few store on First Street.
Mm-hmm. First started up with them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they stayed at the best hotel in Portland when they came here. It was the Esmond Hotel. It was on the corner of Front and Morrison.
Mm-hmm. Good. You know, it's possible that the Historical Society will ask me for some of your information. That's why I'm recording it, because they're taking tapes too of people, and they would be particularly interested in Portland. That's why I'm letting you go on with telling me more.
My dad was a member of the Divine Zion Society. Is that a distant one?
I don't know.
Well, it used to be a group of old timers.
I see.
And I know he was a
Did they hold any office in city government or in club organizations as such?
Well, my father took a course, and he was a brain. And I have several books about the township, Nottingham Township, presented to my dad about the depictions and certain things.
Mm.
History of the numbers, especially. Mm. And I have their genuine sheepskin gowns with the coat of arms of Nottingham, England on it.
Oh.
And the plaque on the inside coat telling what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
There are six of them that I have. It's kind of an heirloom.
Oh, I guess so.
And he was always into something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He took the University of Oregon Law course, graduated at the top of his class. I have a notice in there. Some cave papers that I had at home that he had where the dean of the law school asked him what he was chosen to give the address to class. It was like he wrote in a letter and I didn't know what he was going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. What year did your folks come here again?
I can't tell you. 1890, they were here.
They were
sure.
Here.
Mm-hmm. And in 92, we lived in Mount Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was about 7, that was 99, that's going to get bad spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the old fucking Lincoln High School, 14th Marshall. I didn't graduate though. My dad got very sick. He wasn't strong physically. He died at age 57 of chronic bronchitis. And I was a big husky kid, and I got a big idea. Better get in and help some. Before my mother took me, she said, I had a tremendous success.
What year did she die?
Not about me. Died at age 72.
Oh, well, maybe we can put together the year. How old was she when she came here? She came in 1890. She ever sing?
Somehow I can't tell you exactly.
Well, you know, the purpose for asking is for genealogy.
I've got some papers home that I could do myself because recommendations of the group of teachers of various places. There used to be a fellow named Ribbler here in Portland, the head of the school board.
Now, the Historical Society is doing a lot, like I say, for the Portland area, as they're trying to trace up some of the old-timers with information that might be pertinent. And especially in genealogy, we always have people searching back their roots, always trying to find out.
I can find out some of these things.
What about anything like records of boat records? Maybe they came across the seas. Did they have a diary? Did they keep anything as to...
Not that I know of.
Nothing like
My dad would keep a diary, but it was on loose lead systems. It lost pretty badly.
Sure, right.
I've got a trunk home with some relics in it. I've got a 45 Colt revolver with a belt with all filled with bullets.
Oh, my.
About that big rigger cannon. And a pair of spurs. No, only one spur. I've got a quirt. You know what that is. And a bridle, and kind of a relic.
Well,
no use to anybody.
You'll have to decide if your children don't feel it is. You may want to give it to the Historical Society too. You know, designate it as such.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it should go.
Well, I'd give it to somebody if I knew.
It would be kept. Yeah. We do that here. I'll show you later some of our pictures we have done, the history we're working on, and we're collecting little things that people have some specific association with the past of Sherwood, because Sherwood's changing, as you see. Did you say you had a sister that lived here in Sherwood then? Did she live here?
Well, she lived here until she was about 7.
Oh, just as 7.
No, she wasn't here very long because she was about a year and 5 months older than I was, so 8 months older than I was. I was born in my favorite. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I've heard the name Brooke before. And you say your dad came here and then he was the one that started the brickyard?
I'm unable to say that.
Oh.
It might have been Alexander, I don't know.
Well, Alexander was just sent for from Chicago. They came from Chicago, and there were 4 of them. In fact, I have the record on that. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Portland was a pretty small place when I was a boy. My chum and I used to go swimming, and we lived in Captain Hall once a day or twice a day. Once a day if we had lunch money, and twice a day if we had to come home for lunch.
You know that is.
3 years ago, you heard of Mrs. Elizabeth Landwood, the rabbit, haven't you?
Oh, yes, sure.
She was my chum's mother.
Oh, uh-huh.
She came from the family that the Landwood Cherry's named after. Her father had a nursery. Right close, if not right there, the Red Leaf Office. And they found these seedlings in the Lambert Cherry was named after Lambert, and then they had an old Chinaman that worked for them, and his name was Bing. The Bing Cherry was found there too. The whole scene. These things are kind of interesting.
You bet they are. That's why I say I would never remember them all, so I want to record them all.
Mrs. Wood, I have all of them. I think I have all the books Mrs. Wood wrote.
Oh, really?
With autographed.
Oh, beautiful.
And she published another book, she sent me a copy.
Oh, that was nice. And you should be sure that you...
She was a wonderful woman.
You should be sure that you leave it to your children with, you know, specific kind of requirements that they realize the importance.
I have one daughter and I think that she...
Or that, or donate it so that you know... Donate it so that you know some significance is left with it, you know, because it's important.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you'll find every library feels this way, too. It's kind of, well, we feel like we're a local museum for Sherwood. Whatever we have, what we collect, we keep here. However, there's a Washington County Historical Museum, and there's also the Oregon State Historical Museum. Have you spent any time up there in Portland at the Historical Society? Have you been up there?
Up where?
The Historical Society up in Portland?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you'd find it so interesting. You
well,
should go.
I imagine it would.
You should go. It's across from the Art Museum.
I know so many. I know a whole lot of them. The Hoyt family, the Hoyt chief is named after. Ralph Hoyt had the organ in the Unitarian Church for years when I used to go to Sunday school.
Here?
And George Hoyt was an assistant. I don't know, he was an appointed official in one of the banks.
Now, how was that last name spelled?
Huh?
How was his name spelled?
H-O-Y-T, same as Hoyt Street, and the rest of the name from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Hoyt was a shaver, Shaver Street on the other side of the river.
Mm.
And she was a character. They lived next door to us on Portland Heights.
Do any you recall anything that's ever been said about how some of the early pioneers may have come across by wagon train?
Probably what?
How they came across by wagon train after
no.
they came by boat?
No, I've never
how they
heard.
No stories like that.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you one kind of an interesting story though. It was one of the neighbors was very fond of overrubbing once in a while. And he did get almost home, fall down, and take the rest of the night and get her. His wife was a kind of a suffrage. So he woke up when Mrs. Hoyt told me this. She saved us.
Mm-hmm.
And he woke up at the morning in the morning, woke up and looked around, and there's your wife. I'm the first one. Where are the women now, by glory?
That's cute.
I'll tell you an interesting thing happened in 1892. The Willamette River froze over, and my dad and mother drove across it to Clean, Stark Street.
You know Mr. Saragino? Saragino?
Yeah.
He has this onion flat in the Cipolli, Cipolli, right between here and King City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's one of the old time. He said the same thing about the time that Willamette froze over. They used to rode over.
How old is he?
In his 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's getting old.
Yeah, right. The sons are doing all the business now. But his is an interesting tape, too.
Well, I've got enough of it. I'm just going to go in here.
Oh. But it's important
you know,
to put all these facts down.
We can say all we want to disagree with things about other people. You know what God is in this country? Money.
That's not what God is. That's maybe what some of the people are. They shouldn't be, you know.
We have an aristocracy here that just makes the British aristocracy look like a bunch of amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like a bunch of fools, we put them in office like this.
Yeah, well, there's always a matter of opinions there. I'm more interested about the past history than this history. Can you think of any other interesting stories that might have happened here or around Sherwood that
No,
something that your mother may have talked
about. I couldn't actually be called a resident of
No.
We got acquainted with the Cochran's, owner of Stewart's, you know, Stewart's related.
Yes.
Both the Stewart boys worked at the Fulton General Electric Company, but I did. They worked on Station L, steam pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
The one I was involved with.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny was the gentleman, and Lucy was the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I probably could find a dozen people around there. Only deferred, I can't defer it.
There's no going back.
But to somebody who's in middle age, to be that, there must be some very valuable.
Well, we appreciate donations because we
want to. Mathematics, I bought that when I was I was quite a mathematician, I think, my time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was Lincoln High School, I used to be sent half the class to the board and half to save their sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And they let me go to the board. Because I could put it down so fast it would be going up and chalking up in the air and so forth, and raising pain and all the rest of them.
Did you notice we have the old papers? We have the old papers dating back to 1911. That was the first newspaper. Did you know anything about the papers here? That was the first newspaper here.
Well, I've got some things cut out from
that. Have you?
Some papers were very, very old.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they pertain to Portland, like I say, be sure you go visit them up there in Portland at the Oregon Historical Society, because they would like to hear some things, and there's many things that they're still looking for, you know. And in a way, it's a tribute to you and your family's name to have it noted and kept forever, don't you feel?
Well, I don't know.
It's a tribute to your mother's memory.
My family's so broken up.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my father's mother died. Mr. Smith, he was well into it in the market. Sent for all of them, five boys and a girl, brought them over the village.
Mm-hmm.
And from there on, they were his kids. And they just kind of chopped off. And every one of those people lived. Every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's one of them that's alive. Never kept in touch with the family, and I saw him, I met him before he went to the interment, and he was a little bit of a baby, just born. Uncle Sam, and by the way, he was the youngest one, 2 years, to Yale. He was occupied the same room with Hopkins Jenkins, just retired from Jefferson High School.
Yes.
And He was a captain in the Army in World War I, back in the morning, and he taught, so that kind of thing.
Do you ever remember any talk of Indians? Did your mother tell you anything about Indians? Did she ever talk about?
The Indians were pretty well tamed, but they
by that time, right, yeah, right.
See, the trains were running then, and the Indians didn't stop many trains.
Mm. What about the gypsies?
Hmm?
Gypsies. Did she ever talk about gypsies?
No. I've run across a few myself, though.
Have you?
I used to work for a while. I quit the PGE one time, and then I went back. I was in substation construction. I could help the girls from here.
Oh.
And when I went back, they put me in an operating job, operating a substation, first in Jefferson, and there were some gypsies, and some of those empty stores around there were, and they'd always pass by, they always want to talk to you, and so forth, and so the women.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't interest me. I was married, and that was all.
There's no incidents that you can think of that?
Still got the same one, 55 years.
Mm-hmm. Is your wife still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, I had to wait for her to bring the car home from the chopping before I could come down here.
You're still driving too then?
Oh, yeah.
You're both driving.
I've got a ticker on my heart.
Have you?
Yeah.
What, one of those pacemakers?
Just a pacer.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful what they can do medically?
Yeah, they can't do much.
But it helps.
I've got a knee here that arthritis and it's a broken cartilage in it with a basketball player. That's how I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't do that operation, taking out the broken pieces in those days. So I carried this for years. Every once in a while I overdo it and be limping.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally had it done, it was carved open. It's a beautiful piece of wood.
Oh, yeah.
And they just dropped it open up and threw up his hands and arms because I can't look in for it. It's all full of arthritis. That's all I have.
But they talk about a lot of new discoveries coming up in the next couple of years for arthritis, for the relief of arthritis. So maybe there's some hope.
They certainly need some.
Yeah.
See, see that finger?
Yeah. It just helps to be able to tape it so that I can go back and pick up, you know, things that I need. I was looking for them.
I'm kind of interested in that name Alexander because I can't help but wonder if it's the same people.
I think Robert was his first name, Robert Alexander.
Well, it wouldn't be.
That wouldn't mean anything to
you. No.
Okay.
You know, I spoke to you about Elizabeth Lambert Wood.
Right.
She, her son and I, we went together for 13 years. Neither one of our dads, Dr. Wood was the best diagnosed throat specialist in the city at that time. Had offices in the old Oregon building.
Mm-hmm.
And they just lived two doors from us on 10th Street, the hall. And Hamlet and I used to, neither one of our dads would pay for any damage we did around the neighborhood. They paid for it. We owed it to them. So we put in wood, slab wood, that used to stand all over Portland, drying up in the summertime and during the summer while they saw it up. We'd get a job putting it in. So one time he dropped a rock on his finger and broke his finger. So I kid with him for several years about it. Yeah, so darn lazy. He'd break his finger rather than help. But Landon and I were just inseparable. We did everything together.
Mm-hmm.
He was killed in the first engagement he got in World War I.
And that's, Lambert is his daughter that you're talking about. That's the author, right?
No.
His wife?
His wife? Oh. No. The author is Lambert Wood's mother. The Lambert family had about five girls and one boy. And one of their daughters married a man named E.L.E. White, a printer in Portland. The other one was kind of funny, he had a woodwork. Married a real estate man by the name of Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two younger ones that I don't know if they ever got married. They lived over on 11th and Mill on the west side of Portland.
Mm-hmm. Looking for some other names. Do you remember Mr. Hankey, the shoemaker? Hosnagel, the blacksmith.
You mean here?
Yeah, 1890s.
Oh, I don't remember anybody.
None of them. No. Or that your mother may have talked of, I'm thinking.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. The only ones I know are Stewart's and they here.
Yeah. Here's my chapter, a little bit on the brickyard. A short but momentous life of the brickyard had a great effect upon the growth of the town. The brickyard operated for 3 years, obtaining the clay from the bottom of Washington Hill. Mounds of topsoil were scraped up to get to the clay. The bricks were turned out under so great a pressure that the unburned bricks could not be broken by any other ordinary means. The pressure was so great that the machinery often broke down and stopped work at the plant for several days. All of the money and manpower that poured into the town as a result of this industry tended to make the community much larger. And then, of course, new businesses started up and so forth. And here, Robert Alexander thought up the name Smockville unfit. Robert Alexander thought the name Smockville unfitting, and a town meeting was called. Many names were suggested, but after final vote, the suggested name given by Mr. Alexander was chosen and thus called Sherwood. It is said his suggestion was prompted by the beautiful growth of firs, which reminded him of the Sherwood Forest of England.
Well, that's kind of funny, because there are no fir trees in England.
No, it reminded him of the Sherwood Forest in England, not fir trees, just the
oak,
trees.
Oak.
Right,
deciduous.
Right, And then the name was adopted in 1892. And, of course, then after that they had...
Well, I understand. I'm not trying to...
Oh, here's something about the brook. Okay. In 1891, Matt Fitch built a house for Mr. Brooks, who headed the brickyard.
Now, I've got a card home with his name on the manager.
Okay. On First and... Well, let's see. Did he build this one then? This is First and Park.
He built a house here, I know.
Right here is First and Park. This is the building. This was built in, let's see, it was later than that. It was 1891, Matt Fitch built the building for Mr. Brook. But in 1897, he built this building here. Mm-hmm. And then in 1894, United Brethren, that's what they called the church here, then the Congregation Church was built. Do you know anything about 1893 George Sayers Jewelry Store?
No,
of course I got a lot about what buildings were built in what years.
The only thing I know about is my mother could suggest the name.
Yeah.
And that's all I know. She told me so. And aside from that, I've been in Sherwood a few times, and I want to keep it here.
And it sounds as though they had a town meeting, and they all agreed on it, you know, on the name. That's the thing. And of course, he has always been given the credit as having named
the town. Well, that's all right. That came up no good. What I mean is, I'm not trying to stir up anything. I just thought, I had heard from this young man when I came to Bob's funeral here.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me if he recognized the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me about it and said, told me that the librarian here was very interested in past history. Mm-hmm. So I told him I'd look you up.
Good, I'm glad you did. Now, in 1890, as it states here, of course, some of these records are taken from Mr. Shirk. He had done the history in the 30s. And he had this recorded in there, so I'm taking that information from there. But in the 1890s, when your father came here, did he come here directly from England? And he headed the brickyard, evidently.
Yes.
He was the start of it.
I don't know, but I rather suspected that J.H. Smith, his uncle, had some money.
Hmm.
He was filthy rich. You know the Mount Tabor Park?
Mm-hmm.
That road that goes up to the top of the hill is the original road that he put in to get to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a little card about so big, dated 1896, when my Aunt Nellie, the only niece he had, was married, and she married a fellow named Smith.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Went up to Seattle to live.
Well, the old records, I didn't put it in mine, say something about that after, what was it, 3 years that the Brickyard they disbanded. They didn't use the Brickyard any longer because of misfunding, or the misuse of funds. That's the way they stated it. Something evidently happened that they went bankrupt. Have you heard anything there that this was
the
reason?
The only thing I ever heard was that my dad took about all the money he had in the house and lost it all.
But
he did get some piece of property and up on Continental Paper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where he got that. Maybe he got that consolation prize.
Yeah, right. They said mismanagement of funds. That's how they put it in the past records. That's how the Brickyard.
The story, the way I heard it all my life, was that the expert, they didn't buy any machinery till the expert had been here to examine the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And he recommended it for us fresh brick. And when the bricks were made, they crumbled like a loaf of bread.
Oh, excuse me a minute. What? want to be able to get all the information.
I've got about 300 volumes on it.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got Mark Twain from. And I've got quite a number of.
Well, many of those things are probably collector's items now. Some of those things are out of print. You should always look in the front of your book to see the copyright date and so forth, where it's important.
Some of those are pretty old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, thinking of classic novels.
Nice. I bought that and used it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sketchbooks by
Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate any books we get. We add them to our library. Anything that we have that is duplicate.
Where did I
put them?
Oh,
right here.
Oh, there they are.
Yeah.
Prince of India.
Right.
Lew Wallace, that's the standard.
Right. Power of Will and Fear God Take.
Oh, that's Theodore Roosevelt. You're going to take your own part.
Yeah, right. You know, we have another thing that you might be interested in. We have all kinds of old.
Go-getter. She always has been. She got in the real estate business down there, and I have no basis to put this on, but just my recollection of various things. I think she made about $250,000. She came over. She lives in Phoenix, Sun City, near Phoenix.
Oh.
And she's married with another Jim Guy, one of the radio operators here.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She bought it. Here's something about the room. She put his body in the. In a box, brought him up here to be buried in this cemetery. And on the way up, she had this box in there, and she had a flat tire. She had to stop the fellow on the road to change the tire for her. She was awful afraid he was going to ask for it in the box.
Oh no. She did this all by herself?
But she is. She's very independent. Well, she's a go-getter.
Mm.
And she started down there first. It just went down there. We went down to the 1940 fair. And we went to the fair every day. And they had room for just one person. So they kept our daughter, Bonnie, coming. So when the children came back, it was fun. But she had a dress shop there. Right near San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up here and she was all blazing and she was going to get money and build a house, building and so forth and so on. And I think her dad told her the same thing I did. Make your business pay for the building. Rent for your children. At any rate, she asked me quite a number of times. of things like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, Tom, you've got plenty of sails up. Just be sure you're going to stay in the water or something. She went over here a short time ago. We just got this a couple of days ago. She came back to San Francisco, south of San Francisco, the peninsula there. She had a piece of property. She'd been trying to sell for quite a while. And she sold it. And while she was there, trying to sell her own, she sold another piece. She just listened.
So she's inherited some...
she's a go-getter now. Just get on it all.
Do you come down into Sherwood often to visit?
No, once in a while. We were here, of course, with Bob.
Yes.
And we see Emily once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack once in a while. But they we don't see much of them. Mm-hmm. We do the real thing.
Yeah.
They're nice family.
Mm-hmm. You and your wife are still living, you're by yourselves. But you're living here in King City now. You're not in Portland anymore.
No.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to hoe corn and potatoes up there at the corner, you know, where the first buildings were in King City.
Oh, I remember when they built
the
that.
The old farmhouse used to be up there. It was a Levy farm on the corner, 116 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Some friends of mine bought it. They had lived on Dosh Road on the way to Council Crest.
Mm-hmm.
They rented a farm. And he bought this place over here, Levy Farm, and I used to come out and stay weeks at a time. So they put me to work. That was all that was me. There was one of the boys was a year younger than I was and one year older. One 3 years older, one 5 years older. There were four boys. And we three kids just had a ball. We'd tear into their work and get it done and so forth, and be off in the woods. Got fresh water mussels underneath the old wooden bridge where the new one is now. And got in a couple of fights with some other kids in the neighborhood. And then on Saturdays we would take our truck garden stuff down to South Portland and sell it door to door. It took 2 hours to drive each way.
What year was that?
Oh, about 1978. The railroad wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Tigard was Tigardville, up where Mick, what's the name of the street? McDonough Street is.
Mm-hmm.
The old, one of the old Tigard houses is still in here. And I used to come down there and I can remember one time and we didn't know what a carbon actually was.
No.
You know? You can the kind of a sled ride looking thing with boards lapping over. And you drag it along, it bounces on the clods and breaks them. We had an old horse. I was sitting on the clodmaster to give it a little more weight with some rocks piled on it. We had an old horse and a little fire horse. Great big animal. He got down to the end of the row and instead of turning, started to back up. Maybe you think I didn't roll off that clodmaster fast.
I wanted you to explain it. It's descriptive.
I had got acquainted with this family of Howards. There were four boys and two girls in the family. The boys were all home yet. Now they're, I don't know where they are.
Do you know of a Howard Smith?
No.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a great time. They lived in a place in Dosh Road that rented. We set a fire one time. We had two dogs. We'd go around the neighborhood and put the dogs in the skunk. And I was around on the other side of the snag looking for her. I wasn't looking the right way and the skunk got me when it came out. I had to sleep in the yard up on 49th, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh dear.
That's good. We set a fire to a snag one time and we had the pleasure of sitting all up all night with wet sacks hopping at the spots as to who had depending on bombs. Then we dipped some bread took out a little piece of bitch and bread and fed it to the old rooster. And he'd put in the sock with the DC hogs, quite a area, and thoroughbred chickens. This great big old rooster, and he drunk as a rod. All the hens were looking at me. One of the funniest things I ever saw in my life, though. That kids will be kids.
You know. Mm-hmm. Haven't changed any, have they?
They haven't, well,
they haven't changed. They're still kids, a lot of
kids. Oh, I still got a big kick out of some of these things. Sure. Remember that talking about the wood. I was one of the family. They had a place down at Longview, Washington, tie over, you know where that is?
Yes.
Half a mile north of Longview.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived down there for the whole several years. Just with my family. Lambert didn't hit the boy, didn't invite me, and his sister Helen would invite somebody else, a girl. We four kids just had a ball. We'd go out and get clams, and we had a 5 gallon oil can on the side, you know, square. And fry them on top of that in the drift a little bit.
Oh,
We went out one morning, and we got 144 crabs. Well, that's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. We used to just drag them out of the crab hole for them. You know.
Mm-hmm.
That morning, Mrs. Wood had a wagon down there. She sat in the wagon, and we boys, the girls, took the rakes that day. And they'd drag them out of the sand, the crab hole, and turn them on their backs. The two boys would slam their hands in the middle of the wagon.
Yeah, how fortunate you were in those days. Now those things are all limited.
We had so many tomcod in a small seine one outgoing tide, but it started to take us out. I was on the outside, I was holding the tomcod, and I had to let go of it. We had a lantern on the inside so we wouldn't miss it. But the seine point, 20 feet long, 4 feet wide, with lead on the bottom and ropes on the top.
Now where would you go to do this?
And we got these laundry baskets. We got one of those full of tomcod.
Where?
Right outside the window.
Oh.
They were thick over in the road by a waffle.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I guess came up. Anyway, here's where we were trained. Now you boys had a real good time getting those. I want you to go on the beach and see that every one of them was used. That's a good thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I owe a lot to Mrs. Wood. She's a wonderful woman.
You have a lot of respect for her, though.
Oh, more than respect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could have given her my right arm any time.
That's beautiful tribute.
And their old house there was right up on the ridge. Right in the view of the ocean. Between the dining room and the living room were pencil marks on the door jamb and the date. I'm on that. Still that way in the house. The lotion had been dead for years and the house had been sold. It was the last time I was there. I was still there.
That's nice. Nice tribute.
My height and the date. We'd go over to Shoalwater Bay, in the Carter, and get a clam there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'd do that. But our nose never fit.
And you collected all her books?
I've kept every one of them. I value them very, very much.
I would think you should.
Mm-hmm. I have several of my books. I told you I have about, I must have 7 or 8 books there. My dad won a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't get it.
No, that's something you should keep in the family.
Mm-hmm. I've got a full set of Shakespeare that my father had. It was a very elaborate thing, 3/4 leather bound and so forth, that's been pulled out the top. I kind of thought out. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say it was in first class condition. But my dad had that. He took a course one time from is that Shakespeare, well, when I was pretty well grown, I was 27, my dad was about, but this portion of Shakespeare, Professor Rebeck, University of Oregon, mentioned. And he got the professor, my dad and the professor Rebeck got quite chummy. He used to come out the house, sit on the porch and let me tape. Cut the grass, offer a suggestion once in a while, it got me down a little bit.
You didn't need suggestions, huh?
He got sick about the middle of the course. And when my father was prepared to take that over, I had to go, he says, I don't know anything about it. You know a damn sight more than I do.
He probably could have.
Yeah, so he took it.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He graduated top of his class. And didn't have enough to practice, you know, with two young kids. A young lawyer could start to death right if he was without any help.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to get a start.
Mm-hmm. Anything, is there anything else that you might be able to tell me about the early years?
Well, I kind of keep in sight, keep in mind. And
yeah,
mind.
If you come across anything, we sure appreciate the opportunity to be able to teach you. Hope your voice and I can go back on dates and things, I mean. And I think...
Alfred E. Brook.
Alfred E. Brook.
Yeah. 12115.
12115.
Southwest King Richard Drive.
Southwest King Richard Drive. That's King City.
King City.
Oregon.
97223.
Okay. And telephone number?
639-7991.
Okay. Good. We appreciate your time.